Okay, so we're on Ksuvot Daf Yud Beis tonight. So the Gemara is in the middle of a machlok between Rav and Rav Sheshet. When we say a man has Tana Petula means he claims that the wife is not a Petula. So if he's able to assert that claim, so what happens to the woman at that point? Does she walk off with nothing, which is, I think, what Rav Sheshet says, or does she get a mana, which is what an almana would get? So in conjunction with that, the Gemara quotes a braisa, three lines from the bottom, on Yud Aleph on the base. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Kinsa Rishon L'Shem Nisuin. This is a braisa. The braisa says, a woman's married to two men, or not same at the same time, one after another. So Rachel's married to Reuven, and Reuven married to L'Shem Nisuin, Yeshla Edom Shlo Nisra, but she is Edom, that she was never alone with the husband. He says, Inami Nisra V'lo Shah Takdebiya, or there's evidence that she was alone with the husband, but not enough time to do bia. He says, "Eina sheni yecholaton tana petulim." So the second husband cannot, notwithstanding that fact, the second husband cannot make a taina that she lacks petulim shrekin sarishon. In other words, if she was married before, he can't make a taina petulim. And even if the fact that she was married before would seem like she should still be a petula, the fact she's married before, that it stops him from asserting a tanat betulim. And the implication we learned in the Mishnah that if you marry an almana, let's say the first husband had died after these circumstances, so the ksuba is 100 mana. So of course she would get 100 mana. So top line now on Yubeza Manala. So Amar Rabba, Zoto Merit. So Rabba says we can extrapolate from this brisa, kinsa bechezket betula. In other words, we're going to extrapolate for a different halacha. In other words, here he married her and he thought she was a betula, but she wasn't, but it ended up only 100 mana. Kinsa b'chezke betula, but imsei be'ula, that if a man, any man, marries a woman with the understanding that she's a betula, and turns out she's a be'ula, yishtak tubamana, she still gets 100 zuts. In other words, he wants to say, in this case, he had good cause to believe that she was a betula, but notwithstanding that, she was not, but she got 100 zuz. So in other cases as well, if he has Tana Petulim, she only gets 100 zuz. Ravashi Amar, Ba'alma, Liolamei Malach, Le'Laklal. Ravashi says, not Mochrach. I could say from this Brisa, I said in general, she gets zero, which is the way that I think Rabba had said in the previous segment, right? Let me just make sure who said which. Let me just take a quick look. One second. Yeah. So Rav Sheshet says she gets a mana. Rabba says she gets nothing. So the Gemara says Ravashi Mar Ba'alma Lulamim Malach Le'Laklal. I could say in general, if a man asserts Tana Betulin, she gets nothing. B'Shani Hacha Shrekin Sarishon. Here, the fly in the ointment was somebody else had married her. So even though if she was married before, so then in Achinami you're on the notice that she's not a Betula. In other words, you thought she was a Betula, but she wasn't. But she was married before. So there she gets 100 mana. But in another case, I could argue that she gets nothing. Let me just do a little ground and I'll pause for questions, comments, and thoughts. So now the Gemara asks, B'necha Shema Tachtav Zintar. So the Braisa had said that the second one can't make a Tanas Betulim, meaning there's no sense of him even going to Bezdin to say, I didn't find her to be a Betula. He's going to have to just pay the Ksuba, which is 100 Zuz. He says, well, why don't we encourage him to go to Bezdin? Because part of the purpose in going to Bezdin is it gets publicized, then maybe Adam will come forward. And why are we afraid that maybe this woman was Mizana? In other words, it could be that the first husband had relations with her, but another equally plausible, you know, scenario is that he did the Erusin with her and then she was Mizana. And that's why she's not a Betula. So Amar of Shrevia, Kedish Ba'ala Alter. So Shrevia says, we're talking about he did the Erusin, and then he did the Nisuin, and then he had the Bia right away. That's what he's talking about. So she was not Mizana Tachtav. That's clearly off the table. Okay, let me just do another Lashon, then I'll summarize, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. The Ikidman Ilaman Nitin. Some say that this conversation between Rabba and Ravashi didn't go on the Brisa that we learned. It went on our Mishnah. And the Mishnah said, and we did this Mishnah on Shabbos, Betula Almana Grusha Chalutim and Nisuin Ksutan Mana. If you have a betula, but she's an almana, in other words, she's a widow, in other words, she's a betula, but she's an almana, or she was a betula, she's a grusha, or Tulan, she's chalutza, minanisuin, ketubatan mana. Her ketubas are 100 zuz. But ainlahen tanat betulin. And you can't make a taina that she's not a betulin. In other words, enachinam, you marry an almana, so that's what you get what you get. So the Gemara says, betulim and nisuin hechi mashkachat lo. So what's the case of betulim and nisuin? Going shenichta salachupa v'lanivala. It could be, the Gemara said, she's a betula and grusha chalusim and a nisuin. What would be a case of betulim and nisuin? He says, going shenichta salachupa v'lanivala. That she'd gone to the chuppah, but she never had, you know, bia before. That would be an example of betulim and a nisuin, in which she only gets 100 zuz. So Amar Rabba, Zoro Merik, Kinsa Becheska Betula, Benimse Be'ulok Tubutamana. So Rabba says, from this Mishnah that we just did, you can extrapolate that if a man marries a woman with the understanding that she's a betula, and it turns out to be a be'ula, she gets 100 zuz. Just like here, he's marrying her, he thinks that she's a betula, and she wasn't, and she only got 100 zuz. Ravashi Amar Leolam Eimalach Ba'almalet Laklal. Ravashi says, no, I could say, like Rabba, in general, if a man accuses the woman of not being a betula and she's not a betula, she gets zero. B'shani hacha, what's different in this case, she nichnasa l'chuppah, that she already went to the chuppah with somebody else. In other words, you have to distinguish in a case, you're marrying a garden variety woman and she's a betula, you're under the impression she's a betula, or if you're marrying a woman who was married before. So inachinami, she's married before, and your understanding is she's a betula, but you know things could be not the way you think. So that could be, that could be a case where we say you get 100 zuz, but in a chinami, a garden variety case, maybe nothing. So the Gemara says, "B'leichu shema tachtav zinta." So why do we just say she gets 100 zuz? Why do we encourage the man to go to Bezdin and make a tanis betulim? Amar Rav Shrevi, don't shekid nishubal la'alter. The case is that with the chup that he the second husband was mekadesh and he had bia right away, so she was not mezana underneath him. Now, the main thing that the Gemara is teaching me is that, according to Ravashi, that that in some cases I could make a tanis betulim and she would walk off with nothing, but in other cases she gets 100 zuz. So the Gemara says, "Man demat nila b'raita." So if we say this conversation took place in reference to the b'raita was a case where the edim saw that she was, you know, not alone with her, the first husband, you know, k'debia, or she was not alone with the husband at all. And notwithstanding that, in that case, she gets 100 zuz, kol shekein amanitin. So certainly, if in that case she gets 100 zuz, so certainly in the case in the Mishnah, she gets 100 zuz. Umadamani lamanitin, but the one who learned that the conversations in the Mishnah, and there was in the Mishnah, there were no edim. So the one who learned this in the Mishnah about a b'raita lo, in other words, he could say, in the case of b'raita, maybe she gets nothing. The husband could say, I reasonably relied on the witnesses, and I thought you were betula, and therefore you should get nothing. In other words, we're trying to understand, again, according to Rav Sheshet, when a person makes the tanis betulim and she's not a betula, she always gets 100 zuz. But according to Rava, if you make a tanis betulim and she's not a betula, she gets nothing. So we had cases in the Braisa and in the Mishnah where he made a tanis betulim and she ended up with 100 zuz, i.e., that there were witnesses that said that she wasn't alone for you know that amount of time with husband number one, or she just went to the chuppah, but she didn't have bia with husband number one, but she nevertheless gets 100 zuz. So the question is, so when does she get 100 zuz? When does she get nothing? So if I say the conversation took place in the case of the Braisa, there were witnesses corroborating that she should be a betula because the first husband was not alone with her, could they be a? But notwithstanding that, if that's the case we're extrapolating from, she still gets 100 zuz. So certainly in the case in the Mishnah, she would get 100 zuz. But if I say that the conversation took place in the case in the Mishnah, then maybe the case in the Braisa, the person could argue, I relied on these witnesses. I don't want to have to pay her anything. I had witnesses who said that she was not alone with husband number one. Could they be a? I don't want to pay a dime, according to the conversation we're having. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up, Fern? Are you okay? Everybody else okay?
So where are we left with this at this point?
Okay, just one second. I just repeated again once. Okay, just one second. The Yosef's asking me again. What's up? Yeah, so he was saying like this. The Bryce teaches me that in a case where a man marries a woman under the impression that she's a betula, and she turns out not to be betula, he only pays 100 zuz. He still pays 100 zuz. So, but that's a case where either that the Edom said that she was not alone with the first husband, or she was only alone with him for a minute, or something like that. So Rabbah wants to say, that teaches me that if a man marries a woman under the impression that she's a betula, and she turns out not to be betula, in other words, I can extrapolate from this case to all cases, that if you think she's a betula and she's not a betula, you pay 100 zuz, just like in this case. And Rabbah says, no. This case, Ravashi says no. In general, you might get zero, but in this case, in this case, he's on notice because she was married. Okay, all right. Any other questions? All right, I'm going to move on. All right,
you just came in exactly. Where are we?
Okay, we're on Yud Beis Amud Aleph 12a in the Mishnah, around 20 lines down. Okay, you have it.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. Don't forget to mute yourself. Okay. Okay, Matnitim. Ochel Eitzel Chamiv Yehuda Shloba Eidim. Now, in Yehuda, again, Bizman Chazal, they would have the Erusin and then the Nisuin, and there would be a year usually between the two of them. So in between the year, if a person eats with his father-in-law, it means the bride, the wife, is staying with her father for that year after the Erusin. And he, the groom, the husband, if he eats with the father-in-law in Yehuda, this is before the Nisuin, Shaloba Adim, without any witnesses there, any acholaton to not Tana Petulim. He's a stop for making a Tana Petulim. Tana Petulim is I didn't find it to be Petula. In other words, he's going to be alone with her. So he can't make it. If he's going to be alone with her, he can't make a Tana Petulim anymore. All right. Now let's see back in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain this a little bit more. So Gemara, Mita Katani Ha'ochel. From the fact that the Tana Mishnah says the one who eats, so the implication is there are places in Yehuda where they would eat with the Kala before the wedding, you know, in that period of time, and places not. So Amar Abayi, that there are different places. The Gemara is going to explain shortly that in Yehuda, they would do Yichud, the husband and wife, before the Nisuin. They would do Yichud before the Nisuin. And so, but it sounds like that even in Yehuda, there were different than Hagen. So it's right. Not every place did it that way. And Yehuda, of course, is the area around Yerushalayim, you know, the southern part of Eretz Israel. So Amar Abaye, so this we did. So Kiddetani, like we learned the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, but Yehuda Barishona, Yum Yachin Achata Mirakal Shachat Kodm Kisthan Chuppa, Deshe Libo Gaspa. In Yehuda, they would, you know, unite the Chas and the Kala, like for 1 hour before the chuppah, k'deshe libo gaspa. So he's familiar with his bride. It means he feels comfortable with her. U'begalil, the way you were saying, king. But in the Galil, they didn't do it that way. In Yehuda, they would initially have two attendants to attend to the bride and groom. One attendant, you know, devoted to him, one attendant devoted to the bride. To examine the chasen kalim when they go to the chuppah. Let's look at Rashi, lemashmesh, around 20 lines above where it gets wide. Lemashmesh tofashfesh, lemashmesh b'maseyan. It's like examine, thoroughly examine their maasim. I'll talk in a minute. But oto alayla, shall we calculate zetzeb b'maseyan b'tarmi? In other words, they shouldn't engage in deception. He says, shlo yirez dam betulim, via abed. In other words, the person might want to falsely deny that there was dam betulim and then dispose of the sheet that has the blood on it. In other words, we don't want him to do that. Mizulo tavi mapa shishla tipe damim, and we don't want her to bring a sheet that has drops of blood to establish that she is the betula. So in a place where the mashmesh means like to physically examine, it means they're going to keep an eye on the whole situation. If the minhag is lamashmesh, so the minhag is not to be miyachid. In other words, If the place, the minhag of the makom, you knew who it was, that you could be alone with your kala before the wedding, so we're not checking up on you because there's no tana petulim anymore. But if the minhag was not that way, then you could have a tana petulim, but we want to make sure that everything is on the up and up. So Rashi says that this proves that in Yehuda, there were different places with different minhagim. Let me just go back to the Braisa and we'll come back. Then the Braisa says, in Yehuda, initially they had shoshkin. Shoshkin means like groomsmen, or means like attendants that would sleep in the house where the chasen and kala were sleeping. And it's not hard to understand what this adds on more than we had before. But then the Tana of the Braisa says, if you don't conform yourself, and we have to explain this last line, which the Gemara is going to try to address, then you can't make a Tanis Betulim. Tanis Betulim means making a Tanis that she's not a Betulim. Let me just do a few lines, we'll come back and we'll summarize. So the Gemara says, hey, so when it says, Lo Nahag Min HaGazeh, which part of the Braisa is referring to? Ilema Reisha. Now the Reisha was that in Yehuda, some places they had the Gichud, the Chasam, and Kala, other places not. So Ilema Reisha, Kul Shanahag Min Baylai. In other words, if it's talking about the Reisha, it should say, the Tana Braisa should say, any place that adopts this custom to be miyached a chasen and kala, you can't have tana petulim when it goes out the door. That's what it should say. But instead, the Braisa says kol shalonahag. It didn't do it this way. Ela aseipa. So we think it must be talking about the end of the Braisa, which is having the attendants and saying that they're not miyached. But if they don't have the attendants, then they can't make a tana petulim because we're afraid for deception. Elaseifa, kol shalom mushmash mi baylei. So it shouldn't say kol shalom nahag, it should say kol shalom mushmash, whoever wasn't examined, things like that. So the Gemara has three answers here. Amar Abaye, in the Olam HaReisha, Abaye says, in Achinami, the Braisa is talking about the first case, about if they were miyached, utini kol shalom nahag. So in Achinami, the Braisa should say, not kol shalom nahag, but we should understand the Braisa as if it said kol shalom nahag. Then any place that has this minag to be miyached, the chasen and kala before the wedding, so then that's the end of the tanis betula. No tanis betula. So Amalei Rava b'ha kol shlo nahag tanis. So Rava says, yeah, but the language of the Braisa is the opposite, and like there's such a shinui, it doesn't make sense that you know to explain it differently. Elam Rava hachi kamar kol shlo nahag min ha galil b'galil. That any, in other words, anyone in the Galil, they weren't miyachid the chasen kala. So anyone that didn't follow the Galilean minhag, but he followed the minhag Yehuda of Galil, any of cholaton tana petulim. So kol shalonahag again, it's talking about the reisha. But if a person in the Galil didn't do the Galil minhag, he did the Yehuda minhag, he can't make tanis petulim. That's one explanation. Or the second one, I would say, Ravashi Amar, the Olam HaSeifa. Ravashi says, no, it's referring to the Seifa where they would examine the Chasen Kala, which means Koshla Mushmash. You should learn in the Braisa, or understand the Braisa, as if it says not Koshla Nahag, Koshla Mushmash, whoever was not examined. Okay, let's just summarize what we did. And then we're trying to understand the last line in the Braisa, Koshla Nahag Kamin HaGazer. So if we said maybe it's talking about the second part of the Braisa, about having the attendance, but then it wouldn't say kol shalona hag, it would say kol shalom mushmash, whoever was not examined in such a way. So the Gemara rejected it. So Ravashi says, no, the Olam HaSeifa, utani kol shalom mushmash, you should understand that, and if it says kol shalom mushmash. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So the basic idea is that if Chasen and Kala are alone with each other before the wedding, he can't make a tanis betulim. That's the basic idea that we learned. And then the Gemara said that in Yehuda, so in the Mishnah in Yehuda they would eat together, and in the Mishnah in places in Yehuda they would do yichud together, so they feel comfortable with one another, you know, after the wedding. And in those places, he can't make a tanis betulim. He cannot make a tanis betulim. And the Galil, they would not do it that way, so they could. Then we learned in the Braisa that. So it went through the different minhag, and then we said that there was also a minhag in Yehuda in places where they were not doing yichud before the wedding, there was a minhag in some places that they would have attendance to the chasen and the kala to make sure that they're not trying to pull a fast one. So the fast one that the groom might do is to dispose of the bed sheet, and then I didn't find betulim and the bed sheets in the garbage somewhere. And the fast one that the kala might do is to have a sheet with blood on it and stick it in there. So they keep an eye on her, they keep an eye on him. So it comes out. So then the Braisa said, "Kol shalona hag, kimen hagazeh, can't make a tanis betulim." So the end of the Gemara says, either according to Bai means not kol shalona hag, kol shena hag kimen hagazeh. If he's doing this minhag to have yichud with her, he can't make a tanis betulim. Or Rabbi says no. It means kol shalona hag kimen hagazeh. If he's in the Galil, but he doesn't follow the Galil minhag, he does the Yehuda minhag, he can't make a tanis betulim. Or else it goes on the Sefer of the Braisa, and he says that if you didn't do this minhag, this protocol with the attendants, but it should say kol shel mushmash, whoever wasn't examined. So in Atinam, we should understand it as if it says kol shel mushmash. Okay, whose questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody's speechless. What?
Nobody.
I don't know. Let me think.
Take them with a date if they're engaged.
Yeah. But no. But here, in other words, I'm not sure about today. In other words, so. No. But in other words, you mean that the yichud before the wedding? You're not supposed to have yichud before the wedding. No, it's not.
You're in a private area.
But you shouldn't do that. If you're from Jew, you shouldn't be alone with the kala before the wedding. Alone means alone. Alone. No, I'm saying if people are around, they could see in the windows that it's not alone. If you're in a movie theater, it's not alone. A restaurant's not alone. But if she comes to your apartment, then that's something different. Yeah. So I don't know why they don't have. Let me look into the Tanis Petulim today. Okay. Who's had other questions, comes to us? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on in the Gemara. Okay, anybody in the cyber world have any questions? Okay. Let's go further. Okay, so now we're around 8 lines from the bottom.
Sorry, Rabbi. I was just going to say regarding Tanat Betulim nowadays, people don't get married the younger than 12 and a half, so they don't have much Betulim. So in terms of the Gemara understanding,
I'm not, that's not my understanding. Okay. Like, in other words, the Ksuba, it says, she's a Betulah.
Didn't they say that there is no Tanat Betulim after 12 and a half after she is Bogeret? So therefore, for today, it would not necessarily be as applicable as before?
Let me look into this. Okay. Now, 10 lines on the bottom. You're based on Aleph. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Achar Almanat Yisrael, Achar Almanat Konim, Tutamana. So, Amana Yisrael means a Bat Yisrael, and Amana Kohen means a Bat Kohen. In other words, whether she's a Bat Yisrael or a Bat Kohen, but she's an Almana, the Ksuba is one mana, 100 zuds. He says, now the reason the Kohen might be different, the Gemara is going to say, like, the Kohenim are considered very miyuchas, and there might be reasons why a person might, have a higher price for the Amana who's a Bat Kohen. And the Gemara goes on to say, the Bezdin that was assigned to the Kohanim, and I think the article said it was a Bezdin that would, deal with like the Yichus for the Kohanim, they would collect for a Betula who was a Bat Kohen for us. So in other words, usually it's 2 ounces for a Betula, but they would demand more for the Bat Kohen. The Almana was before the same, but it says the Chachamim didn't object to demanding 400 zuz for the Bat Kohen was a Betula, but we're focusing on the Almana. So the Gemara says Tana Tana Braisa, the Almana Kohen to Tamatayim. So the Braisa says, so in the Mishnah we learned the Almana for a Bat Kohen is 100 zuz, but in the Braisa we learn the Ksuba for an Almana of a Kohen is 200 zuz. So it's a Stira. Our Mishnah says 100 zuz like everybody else, and the Braisa says 200 zuz. So Hanantana and Achad Almanat Yisrael v'Achad Almanat Kohenim k'tut Almana. We learned in the Mishnah differently. So Amar Rabashi Shtei Takanot Havu. Rabashi says there were two Takanot, in other words, the different stages. Me'ikar Takin L'Betula Arba Mi'od Zuz L'Almana Mana. Initially, if you were bat kohen, so you said you get 400 zuz if you're a betula and 100 zuz if you're an almana. Turn page, the top line on the base. Kevan the chazu de mezalzli behu. But then they saw like people weren't treating the benot kohen appropriately. Let's look at Rashi, the first line in Rashi, de mezalzli behu bi almanot kalot benihem lahotzian. In other words, the almana of a kohen, they would like divorce them easily. He says, but they should come to wet it. There's like not a lot of money, so I don't goodbye. I'll see around. Takinu matan. So then they established that it should be 200 zuz. The gnaya yelahen. It was like disparaging for the shevet kuna. The alpha pisha amanot yisrael nami tubatan mana. And even though the amanot of Israel is a mana, he says miu konim chashiv itfei. The konim more chashiv, more important. Who gnai lahem girush shibatotenu tem Israel. It was more of a gnai, more of a disgrace for them, the divorce, than it would be for Israel. All right, let's see back on the Gemara, and then we'll pause. So he says, came in the chazan mezalzli behu takinu l'matan. So initially, if you're a bat kohen, takana is, and you're an almana, you get and now you're remarried, so you get 100 zuz. Then they said 200 zuz. Came in the chazan to kaparshin minayhu. He says, then they saw it wasn't helping the shidduch situation because the amanot of konim, nobody wanted to buy into it. The amri adonasvin and almanat konim nezil nezil betula bat Yisrael. He said, why should I bother marrying an almana if it's a kohen and it was nice yichus and everything like that? But it's 200 zuz. That's I'll marry a betula bas Yisrael, you know, for 200 zuz. He says adrinul maltayu. So they went back to the original takana. So when the Braisa says that the almana of a kohen gets 200, that was like the second stage. In other words, that they made the enactment that she gets before they went back, right? They made 200. And then our Mishnah reflects like the final word on the topic. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that I did so far? Everybody good? What?
But it sounds like the stock plummets a lot. She goes from 400 to 100.
No. Well, you mean from Betula to Almana. Yeah, that went down a lot. Yeah. You're right. That went down a lot. All right. I'm going on line 4. Okay. Now, Beit Din Shel Konim Chulei. Now, we said in the Mishnah that the Beit Din of Konim would collect for Betula 400 zuz if it was a bat kohen. So Beit Din Shel Konim Chulei. So Amar Rabbi Mar Shmuel, Lo Beit Din Shel Konim Lovad Amru. It wasn't just like the Konim who were getting 400 zuz. Elafilu mishpachotam yuchasot b'Yisrael, like any mishpacha that was very miyuchas. In other words, like a family that had a lot of yichus, you know, like you're marrying, you know, a chashuk family. He says, imratzu lasot k'der shekonim osin. They want to do like the Konim do. They can establish that in our family, now we demand 400 zuz. Okay, so Meitve, on this we ask a kasha from the following braisa. The Bryce says, Harotza laso kaderisha kohenim osin. If a person wants to do the way the kohenim do, you go and bat Yisrael the kohen. Let's say a bat Yisrael, so she's a bat Yisrael, but she's marrying a kohen, who bat kohen Yisrael, or bat kohen is marrying Yisrael. So, right. So there's kohen involved in one end of the marriage, osin. So they could do that and demand 400 zuz. Bat Yisrael the kohen, bat kohen. So I'm sorry, did I say that? Yeah, they're right. Yeah, maybe Rosa Sukhdarish Kohenim Osin, you know, about Israel Kohen, about Kohen Israel, Osin, about Israel Kohen, about Kohen Israel, with the Ikat Sad Kuhuna. So the Gemara says, yeah, but one side has Sad Kuhuna about Israel, Israel, low. So you just said that the Mishpacha that were Miuchas could do it. But from that Brisa, it sounds like if Kohenim are involved in some level, then they have, you know, green light to demand more money in the ksuba, but the Israel not. So the Gemara says, "Lo mibayi kamar." No, the Bryce means it goes without saying. Lo mibayi bat Yisrael Yisrael lo matzi amar la ilui ma'alina lich. In other words, bat Yisrael with Yisrael, like the man can't say, "Look, you know, I lifted you up socially, so I shouldn't have to pay 400 zuz." But even in that goes without saying, we can establish a takana to have 400 zuz. About Bat Yisrael a Kohen, let's say if a Bat Yisrael was marrying a Kohen, the husband could say, you know, how can you expect me to pay 400 zuz? I'm like opening like the social doors for you. You're like part of the, you know, like my social network. You're the Kohenim. It's not fair that I should have to pay 400 zuz. So aim a law, so I would think that maybe Taka, they don't have rishus to establish such a rule. So Kamashwan. So the Bryce is saying, even in that case, they could establish a rule like this. Okay, let's just summarize what we did. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So we learned that that the Bezdin of Kohanim would demand 400 zuz for their for a Bat Kohen who would get married. And then the Gemara said that even if it was a Miuchas family among Jews, they could demand like 400 zuz. So then we quoted a Braisa, but the Braisa said that only if one partner was a Kohen could they ask for the 400 zuz. So the implication is the Israeli Yisrael not, because that was a Stira. So the Gemara says, no, it means the Yisrael Vadai, they can ask for 400 zuz. The Chiddush is where, let's say, the Bat Yisrael is marrying Kohen, so the Kohen could say, listen, I'm doing you a favor by marrying you. I'm like, you know, lifting you up socially. And how can you expect me to pay 400 zuz or in the ksuba? Notwithstanding that, they can make a rule that's 400 zuz. Now, the only thing is the Gemara explains where it's a Kohen with the Bat Yisrael. Doesn't explain where the other way around. If it would be a Yisrael with a Bat Kohen, it doesn't explain that side. But we everything you have. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far?
Can anything override this? Let's say the parties get together and decide, I want to put 800. I'm a big macher. I'm a big gevir. I want to put 800 in the ketubah.
Yeah.
Can that be done?
Yeah. So in Achinam, in our ksubas, we have like this manabat time, which is required al pi halacha, but you know, in this tosefic ksuba, you can add on to the ksuba whatever you want. That you could do. But here, Gemara is referring to making a rule that it has to be a floor. In other words, Gemara is talking about the floor is 400 zuz. That's what the question is. 400 zuz for betula. No. In other words, normally it's 200, but for the Bat Kohen, the Bezdin said 400, and then they would, the Gemara and Bryce said that the Yuchas families would do the same thing. So two. So how much is it? I suppose, how many shekels? $60,000. Right. So this would be like $120,000 then. Anyway, that's the deal. Okay.
I'm going to discuss the same thing. So this is anything you can pay them.
No. But in other words, the Gemara is saying that the reason that the Braisa mentioned the Bas Yisrael with a Kohen is because the guy could say, you know, it's to me a Chiddush. But the Braisa also mentioned the Bat Kohen to Yisrael. So why did the Braisa mention Bat Kohen to Yisrael? In other words, there he's not raising here. But so why did the Braisa teach that case? Okay, all right. And there's just like the price in cases with Israel. All right, move on. Let's then. All right, let's take a look. All right, now, okay, I'll try to go even slower now because somebody said that there wasn't enough time for questions. I'm going to go very slow, okay? Anyway, let's go further. All right. Okay, let's see the next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin, Hano say the Yisha v'lo matzala betulim. Now you have Reuven marries Rachel, but she's not a betula. He and it sounds like they agree she's not a betula, but it's only they agree to this after the nisuin. She says, I got raped after the Erusin. In other words, we did the Erusin a year ago. At the time we did the Erusin, I was a Betula. And then in between the Erusin and the Suin, I was raped. I'm still muteret to you. But he says, in other words, it's like an act of God. In other words, like a rape. In other words, like the field got flooded. That's your Yerushal Mazel. Yeah. He says, no. I think that you had relations with somebody before the Erusin, But in my mekach, this is like, you know, mekach tar. It's like fraud, you know, like fraud in the procurement. So he says, so she's claiming, you know, it's only an issue, of course, when, you know, everybody's like divorcing or whatever. So she wants her ksuba, and he's not cutting it that way. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer omrim ne'emenet. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say that the woman is ne'emenet. Now, we'll develop this in the Gemara, but one svar the Gemara has, it's a kishu bari b'shema. She's making a tanis bari. She says, I know with 100% certainty what happened was I was raped after the erusin. He says, I think you had relations beforehand, but he's not producing any evidence. That's a tanis shema. Maybe that way. I can't prove it. Maybe. So bari b'shema, bari adif. Bari versus shema, the bari wins out. So that's for Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say that we believe the woman. Rabbi Yeshua Meir, lo mi piyo ana chayin. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't live on her mouth, means we don't believe her. Ella harezu b'chesket be'ula, she is in the presumption that she's a be'ula, ach lo titares, before she had the erusin, v'hi ta'ato. In other words, we're going to assume that she's fraudulent, ach to be raya l'devora, until she brings proof. So here, the issue that they're focusing on is he's got the money. In other words, he's the muchsak on the money. She wants the money. So, right, you want the money, you have to prove your case. So, you know, I need more than your mouth flapping or whatever. I need to have evidence. So if you produce the evidence, you win, otherwise not. Okay, that's lechora what the Mishnah is saying. All right, let's see back in the Gemara, unless there's any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah. Everybody good?
Is the Gemara going to deal with what type of evidence she brings forward after years?
So again, it's not after years, because at most it's let's say 1 year. She had the erusin, then they did the nisuin, and he says you're not a betula.
1 year, right?
One year. And she's saying that she, according to her, that she was raped after the erusin, so it's less than a year. So the evidence, I don't know if you would have witnesses who saw her raped or something like that. That would be the evidence. I don't know what to say. Now,
so she has the burden of proof, and then
right, according
he have a burden of proof to prove that she was mizanet prior to that, years back?
Again. So he has a taina that she's not a betula, and apparently they're on the same page. She's not a betula. So according to the first opinion, which is Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, she's believed, because bari b'shem amarnas. And according to the second opinion, we don't believe her. And if she wants to prove her, she's got to prove her case before she gets the money. It's no proof, no money. That's the way it's going. All right? All right. Now, let me go further. Now, we're around 8 lines above where it gets wide. So Gemara says, Itmar. Now, we're going to learn another case which will connect to our Mishnah. So put the Mishnah in one column and put it out of the way. So Itmar, mana li biyadcha. If Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me a mana, 100 zuz. Below mayor any day, he says, I don't know whether I owe you, I don't owe you. Rabbi Huda Amri Chayav. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Huna say that if Reuben is the claimant, the plaintiff, and Shimon is the defendant, Shimon owes the money. Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan say he's patur. Rabbi Huna, Rabbi Huda Amri Chayav, the first who hold these Chayav, bari b'shema, bari adiv. You have a klal in the Gemara. If one person makes a tanis bari with certainty, the other one says, maybe, I don't know. So then the bari wins. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Patur, they say that the Shimon is Patur, Uki Mamona b'chesket mare. In other words, you claim that he owes you money, so that's nice, but you don't have a star, you don't have anything, so we're going to leave the money where it is, and you have to produce the evidence that you're entitled to the money. Okay, so that's that machloket. So Amalei Abaye, Rav Yosef. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Had Rav Hunav, Rav Yehuda, Shmuel he. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda were the ones who said Bari B'Shema Bari Adif. That's really the Shita of Shmuel, which we'll see shortly. Ditnan. Now this Mishnah is in tomorrow's daf. Haitamu Beret, a woman who was not married, became pregnant. Ba'amrula Mativo Shal Ubarzeh. They said, what's the status? Meaning, what's the yichus of this child? In other words, was the father a mom's there? Was he a Natin? Well, right, who was this? So she says, not to worry, Mish Ploni, but Kohen who? I only am mizana with the world. I only have relations with the most miuchistic people. So she says, and he was Kohen. So Kohen, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says on the eighth narrow line from the top, a Kohen who klomer miuchasu. In other words, not necessarily that he's a Kohen, that's what the article said, but he was a very miuchas fellow, nothing to worry about. So now the question is, what is the status of this offspring? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer omrim nemenet. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say that we believe the woman. And Shmuel says the halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel. He says, "Va'amrei Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda to Rav Yehuda," and then Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda, "Shinana." Rav Yehuda was a talmid of Rav, and then after Rav died, became a talmid of Shmuel. So he called him Shinana, sharp one. That's what he was called. "Amrei Lameshmei to Shmuel, you said to us, I guess previously, in the name of Shmuel, halacha to Rav Gamliel after Rishona." Now, you said, so here you're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, that we believe the woman. But you said the halacha was like Rabbi Gamliel, even in the first case, which is the case in our Mishnah. So my after Rishona, what does it mean after Rishona? Afalgav de'ikal meimar uki mamona b'chesked mare, Rabbi Gamliel bari adid. So again, when the woman says the father was a miuchas, she makes a tanis bari. The other people are making a Tanat Shema. We don't know who the father is, but we have our concerns. So Shmuel says halach follows Rabbi Gamliel. And then Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, that the halach was Gamliel. So these other chachamim, or this other chacham, this Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda said to Rabbi Yehuda, you said to us previously that even in the first case, Shmuel Paskin's like Rabbi Gamliel. The first case is the case in the Mishnah that we did above here, that when the woman... Yeah, the woman says, "Misha Rastani, then Asti." After I had the Erusin, I was raped. Just 1 minute. After I had the Erusin, I was raped. Even in that case. So what's the difference with that case? In the second case, it's just did an Isur. What is the status of the child? Isur Beheter. So in Achinami, Shmuel says in that case, Bari B'Shema, Bari Aviv. But you said to us that Shmuel even paskins in this case in the Mishnah. Case in the Mishnah, it's not just like Isurim, which it is, but it's also Mamono, there's money involved. And there's a countervailing Chazaka, because he has the money. And you said, nevertheless, we believe the woman that Bari Vashem is Bari Adif, even when there's a Cheskas Mamon, even when there's somebody has the money, is in possession of the money, then you believe him. So that's more of a Chiddush. So it's just 1 minute. So he says, My Afri Shona. What do you mean, even in the first case, halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel? Afagav de'ikle meimar uke mona b'chesket mare, even though you could say, you would think, that I leave the money where it is, he says, Amar Rabbi Gamliel bari adif. And nonetheless, Rabbi Gamliel says bari adif. Okay, so that piece up till now. We didn't close the deal yet, but that's up till now. Everybody good so far? All right, let's go further. Now, around the fifth white line. So now the Gemara says, Lema Rav Yehuda Rav Huna de Amri Rabban Gamliel. Now, should we say, now again, we had one machloket between Mana Libi Adcha. That was when just Reuben says, Shimon, you owe me 100 zuz, and Shimon says, I don't know if I owe you. So we had a machloket Amarayim. Who wins that case just on those statements? So Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna said that he owes the money, because Bari Vishema, Bari Adit. So the Gemara says, Lema Rav Yehuda Rav Huna da Amri to Rabbi Gamliel. Should we say that Rav Yehuda Rav Huna, who hold that the plaintiff with the money case wins, that they're lined up with the Tana Rabbi Gamliel, who says Bari Vishema, Bari Adit. Before that's the way it is. For Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan, who say that defendant wins the case, da Amri to Rabbi Yoshua. Now, Rabbi Yoshua, I didn't mention, I should have mentioned before, but the Mishnah later on mentions, again, with the woman who is pregnant. So Rabbi Gamliel says we believe the woman. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say she's them at it. If you look in tomorrow's daf on Yud Gimel Mud Aleph, 10 lines to the bottom, in the Mishnah, the second Mishnah on that page, Rabbi Yeshua Meir Loi Pianu Chayin. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. He says, Ela Harezu Bechezket Mu'ber Lanatim L'mamzer Shvi Raila Devarea. The presumption is that the child is got a pagam. He's the descendant of a Natin or a Mamzer, until she brings proof the other way. That's the way Rabbi Yeshua says. So the Gemara wants to say, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, right, says Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan say, Ukim Amona Bechezken Mare, we're going to believe the defendant. So he says, the Amri Rabbi Yeshua, Lechora, they don't hold from Bari B'Shem in this case, and they'll hold like Rabbi Yeshua. That's what we think. So Amar Lach Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman could say to you, Ananda Amri Afilu Karabi Gamaliel. So again, Rav Nachman is the one who says, we don't believe her. And Rav Nachman is the one who says that that the defendant is patur from owing the money. Rav Nachman could say that I could hold even like Rabbi Gamliel. I can hold like Rabbi Gamliel, who says that the woman wins the case here. Ad kamam kamri Gamliel hatam el deikamigo. So now he introduces another argument to support the woman's case. Let's say in our Mishnah, the woman says, I was raped after the Erusin. That's what she says. And it was, we all agree I'm not a Betula, but I was raped after the Erusin. He says, I think it was before. So one argument is Bari B'Shem Bari Adif. That's one argument on that side. But there's another argument as well, and that is Migo. Migo is, if she was a liar, she could have said a better lie. So if she's really out to lie, she could say that I became a Mukaretz. I was injured, I threw an accident occurred, and I got injured, and therefore I lost my betulin. Now, the nafkamina between those two tainas, if she's a mukaretz, she's still permissible to a kohen. In other words, if she's raped, she's not permissible to a kohen. Let's say if she's a zona, then she's prohibited to the kohen. So even if she's raped, she's prohibited to a kohen. So a better taina, if she's a liar, would be I was mukaretz. But she doesn't say I'm a mukaretz. She says I was raped. So that passes her on the kuna. So that's a migo, that's in her corner. That helps establish her bona fides. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so this is five lines from the bottom. Amalak Rav Nachman, who says in the loan case that I'm going to believe the defendant. And Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, I could even hold like Rabbi Gamliel. I come to Gamliel Hatam Elo Ikamigo. Rabbi Gamliel, yeah. He says Bari Vishama, but it's not just a Bari Vishama, it's a Bari Vishama together with Amigo. About Hacha, my Migo Ika. Here, in my case, with loaning the money, there's no Migo to support the plaintiff. So I think Rabbi Gamliel would agree with me in this case. That's what Rav Nachman wants to say. He says, Inami, or in the alternative, Ad Kamlo Kamar Gamliel. This is another Chilah. Ad Kamlo Rilu Hatam, El Dominan Ukma Achazaka. Now, another item that's in favor of the woman who says that that I was raped, another argument in her favor is that she had a cheskes betulin. In other words, she had her previous established status was a betula, and now we're upsetting that status. So I should believe that the status is not changed until she's saying otherwise. Let's look at Rashi. Six lines from the bottom. Ukma chazaka misapkalan asharei rusin. We're not sure at the time of the erusin ibetula havoi v'nishtabei lalamat time. In other words, the obligation for the ksuba is clicking in at the erusin. So I don't know at the erusin was she a betula or not. So ibeula havoi hamed ishal cheskata. So we're misupak. So it makes sense that we'll put the woman back in her status quo ante. Ubetula nolda. She was born a betula, so we're going to assume she's still a betula. Ba'achashtu d'nisa chareirusin. Now she afterwards. Back in the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. Abal hacha maya chazaka idlay lahai. So, but here with loaning the money, what chazaka does the lender have? He doesn't have any chazaka. So the point being that even though, in other words, the key is like this: that Shmuel is paskening here that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel holds Bari B'Shema Bari Arif. And that seems to cut against Rav Nachman in the loan case. So Rav Nachman says, I could agree with Rabbi Gamliel, either because Rabbi Gamliel is not just Bari B'Shema, he's got a Migo on his side, or it's not just Bari B'Shema, there's a pre-existing Chazaka on the side. But my case, he would agree with me. So the Gemara says, Haki nami mistabra, on the bottom line on Yud Beis Amud Beis, Haki nami mistabra kidakam shaninan. It's logical to assume that the way we explained it is correct. The Rav Nachman hu da amar Rav Gamliel, that Rav Nachman is on the same page with Rav Gamliel, at least it makes it easier for us. The imkain kashe hilchata hilchata, because if it were not so, we'd have a stira in halacha. The kaimelan hilchata Rav Nachman bedine, because we have a klal, the halacha follows Rav Nachman bedine. Dine was with mamono, the halacha is like Rav Nachman. So then with the money, right, we're going to leave it with, right. So we're going to leave it with the borrower. Uvahamar of Yudamar Shmuel lach Rav Gamliel. Here Shmuel says lach like Rav Gamliel. Elav shromina kitam shaninan. Shramina. So rather, the way we explained it makes sense, the Gemara says. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that I did so far? Right. In other words, if he's lying, he would take the bigger lie. In other words, if he's a liar, then he'll take the best lie. If he's not lying, he'll that's the way. You know, maybe I should do the Rashi on that. Let's look at the Rashi, Ella de Camigo, around the 15th narrow line. So we said Ella de Camigo, here we have amigo, kagon, Mishe Rastani Nenasti, like after the Erusin I was raped, Ukagon, he'll merit Mukareitsani. And she could have had an argument, or if she was lying, I was Mukareits, I was just injured like through some accident. That since she could have made like a superior claim, because that taina wouldn't passel her from shevet kuna. Now she's passeling herself forever from a kohen. The eshet yisrael shenensa, because when eshet yisrael is raped, Asur la Kohen, she's prohibited through Kohen. Shmomina kushta ka'amra. So that's proof that she's saying truth. V'gabihi omer mukareitzani, ibaya amra mukareitzani tachtecha, v'idla ma'atan, v'ka'amra mukareitzani kodem lachem. In other words, she could say, you know, I became a mukareitz whenever time she wanted to. V'ainli alamana. All right, now, all right, I think, now let me see here on the sheet and then we'll be it. Now, All right. Now, there's a piece, he's got a halakhic piece, which we'll do. Our Gemara discusses the issue of the value of the ksuba of a man who marries a woman, presuming that she is a betula, and discovers that she is a ba'ula. Poskim debate whether a woman who is a ba'ula is permitted to conceal this fact from her husband-to-be. One issue is whether concealing this information undermines the acquisition, since the man is entering the marriage under false pretenses, mekakaot. The second issue is whether concealing this information renders the ksuba invalid, and the couple are prohibited to one another until a ksuba worth 100 zuz can be written. In other words, let's say she doesn't tell anybody. She says, I'm a betula, and the husband finds out, like you were asking, that she's a ba'ula. So one question is it a mekach taos? Is he still married? Because it's like fraud. And the other is, assuming that they are still married, is the ksuba good? Because, you know, he never agreed to pay, you know, 200 zuz. So the Horos Natan was asked about the ksuba woman who had her betulum open when she was younger to allow blood to exit her body, and the opening was subsequently stitched closed. Loronatan responded that this matter would seem to parallel the dispute between Tosfos and Tosfos Rid. Tosfos seems to indicate that any time a woman's betulum is not intact, she's categorized as mukareitz, and a ksubu would be worth 100 zuz. Tosfos Rid, however, disagrees and draws a distinction regarding how the betulum were lost. The reason the ksubu woman who is mukareitz is 100 zuz is that the betulum were damaged without her intent, which renders her less desirable. On the other hand, if a woman knowingly removes her betulim to prevent pain or discomfort, it does not detract from her desirability. And since she never cohabited, there is no reason her ksuba should not be worth 200 zuz. Upon further analysis, he writes, since the doctor subsequently stitched closed the opening, the woman could be considered betula. This case would thus be compared to a girl less than 3 years old who is considered betula, regardless of whether her betulim is still will regenerate. Similarly, since the doctor is able to repair the betulim, she's considered betula and deserves ksuba worth 200 zuz. Yeah, but the truth is, Ramosha has a truva about this. Ramosha, the way I remember this truva, Moshe says, let's say you have a woman who was not a betula, and the husband knows she's not a betula. So Ramosha has a truva that, I think he says, you don't even have to tell the rabbi. He says that they can write in the ketubah, you know, betulaychi, as long as the parties know what's on the same page. I think he says it's okay. I mean, and assuming there are no other issues involved. Okay, I think there's going to be Let's take a look. Right. Well, why is that a better argument for him? Yeah, but how does that help his case? A better argument means that my situation is improved. How is his situation improved? Wait. First of all, he can say whatever he wants. She's not chayav skila just because he says you're chayav skila. But even the way you're saying it, he says, in other words, by mechafi mechatau. So again, we had a machloket whether he owes 0 or 100 mana. That was one machloket we had. In other words, it's right. So it could be 200, or if we right. So if we believe her, she's got the 200. If we believe him, it might be 100, might be 0. The only thing I say, she's not going to get killed with his statement. From his statement, she's not going to get killed. But all right. Let's take a look.